5 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Michael Brown reporting. Reactions are still coming in to U.S. President Donald Trump's new executive order barring travelers from 6 countries to the United States. The new order bans nationals and citizens from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. But Iraq is no longer on the list. Rex Tillerson is Secretary of State.
It is the President's solemn duty to protect the American people. And with this order, President Trump is exercising his rightful authority to keep our people safe.
Congressional reaction to Trump's revised travel order and refugee restriction divided mostly along partisan lines, with many Republicans welcoming the directive and most Democrats fiercely opposing it. VOA Senate correspondent Michael Bowman reports from Capitol Hill.
The chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Republican Bob Corker, issued a statement saying, quote, "We all share a desire to protect the American people, and reviewing our nation's screening and vetting procedures is an appropriate step." Fellow Republican Senator James Lankford agreed with Corker after reviewing the order that heavily restricts travel from 6 majority Muslim nations and caps the number of refugees the United States will accept.
This is not a Muslim travel ban. It's been very, very clear from the beginning that this is all about countries with unstable governments.
But many Democrats decried the new order just as fiercely as they did Trump's original directive, calling it discriminatory, unnecessary, and counterproductive in the fight against terrorism. Michael Bowman, VOA News, the Capitol.
For details on much more news, we invite you to join us at voanews.com. From here in Washington, this is VOA News. Libyan fighters who recently captured 2 key oil terminals around Benghazi say they want to extend their fight to try to capture the entire city of Benghazi. Efforts to take over Libya's oil ports raise the prospect of increased violence in the region. Libya descended into chaos after a 2011 uprising led to the overthrow of dictator Muammar Gaddafi. The U.S. has deployed the first elements of its Terminal High Altitude Area Defense System to South Korea to counter North Korea's aggressive behavior. North Korea fired 4 medium-range ballistic missiles Monday, 3 of which landed in Japanese waters. The head of the U.N. Nuclear Agency, Yukaya Amano, criticized the North's launch.
"I again express my serious concern about the nuclear program of North Korea. It is deeply regrettable that the DPRK has shown no indication that it is willing to comply with the UN Security Council resolutions adopted in response to its 2 nuclear tests last year."
The U.S. Defense Department is calling North Korea's latest missile launch a very serious threat and said it is taking steps to increase defenses against the missiles. A Pentagon spokesman told reporters the weapons were medium-range ballistic missiles and did not pose a threat to North America. The chief of Malaysia's police on Tuesday said his forces had foiled an attack by arresting 7 suspected Islamic State group members. Malaysia's inspector general of police said the police officials said they were also planning the suspects, that is, to attack the Arab royalties during their visit to Kuala Lumpur. They are also accused of producing false travel documents and distributing drugs. Afghan officials say a month-long military operation has killed at least 250 Islamic State militants in eastern province bordering Pakistan. A regional military spokesman made the remark at the conclusion of the U.S.-backed offensive that focused on Khat and Kabbalah districts of Nangarhar. And the British Parliament is telling employers to stop forcing women to wear high heels. Members debated such requirement after receiving a petition from a receptionist who was sent home without pay for wearing flats.
"I think people can make the same arguments about men in suits and ties and is it necessary, but high heels in particular, because that can also be a health issue for people."
I don't think women should be forced to wear high heels. I think there have to be some expectations of a dress code to a certain degree. I don't think you can get away with wearing swimwear, for instance, at work.
High heels debated in London. I'm Michael Brown reporting in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, March 7th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Nigeria issues a travel advisory to its citizens wanting to travel to the United States.
What my office said is be a bit more cautious. Just in the last few weeks, we've had a few cases of people that were sent back from the airport, basically visitors coming into America, sent back from the airport, and just sent back to their countries.
Abike Dabiri Irewa is a senior special assistant on foreign affairs and diaspora to Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari. A Kenyan court upholds suspension of mobile phone monitoring. Zambia suspends operations of the Church of Christ until further notice. And Malawi's former Home Affairs Minister is arrested for alleged fraud.
We don't just arrest. An arrest will come after we've done a lot of background work in investigation. We also are working in public education about what their role is in the fight against corruption.
Igreta Undala is the spokesperson of Malawi's Anti-Corruption Bureau. A senior South Sudan military officer has formed a new rebel group after resigning last week. We'll get the South Sudan government's reaction. And a Senegal-based digital music platform celebrates its one-year anniversary. Those stories, plus our listener of the day, are coming up on Daybreak Africa. U.S. President Donald Trump signed a new executive order on Monday barring travelers from six countries to the United States for 3 months and all refugees for 4 months after federal appeals judges blocked a similar order from implementation last month. Among the most notable changes in the new order is the exclusion of Iraqis from the list of suspended travelers. The new order bans nationals and citizens from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. Meanwhile, Nigeria on Monday issued a travel advisory to its citizens wanting to come to the United States. The advisory urged Nigerians who have no compelling or urgent reason to travel to the United States to postpone their travel plans until the Trump administration's policy on immigration is clear. Ibeke Dabiri Irewa is senior special assistant on foreign affairs and diaspora to Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari.
So what we are saying, what my office said is be a bit more cautious. Just in the last few weeks, we've had a few cases of people that were sent back from the airport, basically visitors coming into America, sent back from the airport, and just sent back to their country. In one particular instance, the two-year visa was revoked without any reason. The guy said he was coming for a wedding. So we're saying that if your trip is not that essential, maybe you should just watch and see. So this is just a travel advisory. U.S. also issues travel advisory to its citizens. Just be a bit more careful, be a bit more cautious. If it has happened to some in the last few weeks, I mean, just a few, it's important to let our citizens know that, well, it may happen to you. So know what you're going to do. Be sure it's essential. Be sure it's important to avoid any unnecessary embarrassment until the whole immigration issue is quite clear.
So the people who were turned back, the Nigerians that were turned back, did they say why they were turned back?
That's the thing. Nobody gave them any reason. There was no reason. In fact, the last gentleman came for a wedding of his childhood friend. So for 10 hours, he was kept at the airport. And the next thing, they put him on a flight back to Abuja through Johannesburg, and he flew from Lagos. And they didn't tell him why. Maybe he committed an offense, maybe not, but they didn't give any reason. So the idea is that just be careful. It may happen, it may not happen. So it's just an advisory to our people.
So in reality, you are not telling Nigerians not to come to the United States, but to be careful when they want to come.
No, we're telling Nigerians that if it's not essential, you know, I mean, you're just coming for something casual. If it's not essential, you may delay until you get clarity. But because a few people that have come to make complaints, it wasn't essential. You're going for a visit. You were going to, if it's not essential, it's just a travel advisory. Just be a bit more careful and be sure of what you're going for and what you're going to do. There was a Nigerian who 3 days ago, he was coming for an IT program. I think he was coming to train some people. They kept him at the airport and had to ask, take him an exam to be sure that he knew about the program he said he was coming to do. You know, so it's nothing, it's just an advice which every country gives from time to time.
But Nigeria is not one of the countries on the U.S. government travel ban.
Absolutely. That is why we're telling our people to be cautious, you know. And some are worried that the new travel ban also talks about countries of concern. So you never can tell how that may go. If you check a section there, there's a clause that says other countries of concern. So you can't know. You can't know. But this is just an advisory. This is just advising our people, just in case at least you know. So it may happen, it may not happen, but just be cautious.
So it's a travel warning, not a travel ban for Nigerians.
It is a travel advisory. It's advising them to be more careful, be more cautious, and be sure of what exactly you're going for.
Abike Dabiri Irewa is the Senior Special Assistant on Foreign Affairs and Diaspora to Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari. She was speaking with me from Abuja. In Malawi, the head of the former ruling party is suspected in court today, Tuesday, on allegations he fraudulently granted citizenship documents to more than 50 foreigners in 2013 when he was Minister of Home Affairs. Lamek Masina reports for VOA from Blantyre.
Uladi Musa surrendered himself Monday at the Office of Anti-Corruption Bureau, or ACB, in the capital, Lilongwe. Egri Dandala is the ACB spokesperson.
So since he came in today in the morning, just one himself, our investigators, they've just sent him to the police station for self-custody.
Musa is accused of taking bribes in exchange for issuing Malawian passports to foreigners during his time as Home Affairs Minister. Under the previous administration, he told a local radio in Lilongwe that he feels his arrest is politically motivated. He denies any wrongdoing.
I don't know anything why they have been hunting for me. This is very strange to me because that is one of the major functions and responsibilities of the Minister of Home Affairs.
Musa said as the minister, he was signing citizenship applications from the approval from police and immigration officials that an applicant had met all the necessary requirements. This is the second arrest in this case. Last Wednesday, the ACB arrested former Chief Immigration Officer Hudson Mankwara, who is now out on bail on charges of neglect of official duty and abuse of office. He has also denied the charges. The ACB's Ndala defends the Bureau's investigations.
We don't just arrest. An arrest will come after we've done a lot of background work in investigations, and we also are working in prevention. We've been working in public education about what their role is in the fight against corruption. But otherwise, that's our mandate according to the Corruption Practices Act.
The Anti-Corruption Bureau has made the local news quite a bit lately. 2 weeks ago, the president fired his agriculture minister after ACB investigators found cash worth nearly $200,000 in the minister's home as part of a probe into a recent maize procurement from Zambia. Investigations into that matter continue. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
The government of Zambia has suspended operations of the Church of Christ until further notice. This followed a stampede in which 8 people died and 28 others wounded at the Olympic Youth Development Center in the capital, Lusaka. Kambamba Mulenga is the Zambia Minister of Information.
The government has suspended the operations of the church until further notice because investigations are going on. So until the investigations are concluded by our government, then the Lion Ministry, which is Ministry of Affairs, will issue a comprehensive statement. That is why the operations of the church have been suspended.
What do you know about the number of people that have been wounded? What's the latest on that?
Well, we had 8 people die. 6 of them died on the spot. 2 of them died at the hospital. And 28 of them are injured.
You understand this has to do with food. Can you explain, please, to our listeners?
Yes, the church in question had actually advertised that it was going to give out a 10 kg of meal and a packet of beans to members of the community as charity. So when people had heard that, they had rushed to the OYDE, which is more like a training center for football. A lot of people had gone there. There were those that had stayed outside the gate because the capacity could not hold the number of people that the so-called church had wanted to give out those food packages. So when those people realized that the place inside as soon as they started rushing to get in. That is why this campaign had happened.
Madam, to what degree does this have to do with the drought, the famine in Zambia and the Southern African region? Is this a sign of what is happening around that region, that people are desperate for need of food?
It's not true. Our people in the country are not experiencing any drought. The church has been suspended because there are regulations that govern this country. Obviously, when you're asked by the land ministry when you want to hold something of that magnitude, you must have your documentation right at hand. When the church was actually called to actually do submission, it did not, but decided to go ahead with the payment. And this is what has happened.
Kambemba Mulenga is Zambia's Minister of Information. She was speaking with me from the capital, Lusaka. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, March 7th, and please send your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Daybreak Africa time is 16 minutes past the hour. A South Sudanese senior military officer who resigned last month has formed a new rebel group called the National Salvation Front. General Thomas Sirelo Swaka issued a statement on Monday declaring war on Juba. He called on civilians in various South Sudanese towns to leave the country because, according to him, they are suffering in the hands of the South Sudan Army. General Sirelo says his National Salvation Front will fight for regime change in South Sudan.
The reason for us to come up with the National Salvation Front Revolution is to rescue our people who are dying today in different places of our country, those who are dying in our bushes, chased by kill forces, the militia of the SPLA and Matiang'a Nyor, those who are dying and losing even their dignity in the UN camps, those who are in refuge in different neighboring countries. Kill is killing our people. Kill has betrayed the aspirations, the hopes of our people. So it is a must for the people of South Sudan under the National Salvation Front to come out at this historical juncture to see into it that Kerry is not there.
After your declaration, what is next?
We are going to use every means possible to see into it that Kerry is not there, leading out our people. And you remember in my paper, I say our people already are rejecting the rule of Kerry and his clique. They are now leaving the country, going to the bushes, going to the displaced camps, to our rivers, they're hiding in our mountains, they're outside in the refugee camps, and at this juncture, I'm calling to all our people to leave our nation. There's no place for them really to live in South Sudan. As we talk, our people in Bargazal, our people in Upper Nile, our people in Equatoria are really suffering seriously. They're being divided. They're being made to kill themselves. They're being made to hate themselves. There is no nation at the moment. We need to move as soon as possible, and we need to rescue our people.
General Thomas, you are saying that you want to bring change by all means. Can you be specific? Are you going to fight the government in Juba? What are you going to do?
In a Marxist revolution, we'll use every means possible. And there's a lot of means, of course, and we are going to use them.
Some people are already speculating that you don't have an army, that you have just released this statement, you don't have an army, you are just by yourself, and it's not going to be possible for you to achieve the objectives that you have put forward in your paper. How do you react to that?
I think my army is our people who love peace. My army is our people who love to be together, who love to be in unity. More than 90% of our people, other than Kir and his clique and his militia army of the SPLA, which is already turned to be a militia, our great army of the SPLA, which is already came to be a militia army, to be a tribal army, to be Matiang'a Nyor, you are the majority of our country. The people who love peace in our country are the majority. And this is my army. And they're going to march. Don't be marching. The way they're leaving our country is an indication that they don't want to be ruled by Kir.
You sound like you're not happy with President Salva Kiir. Do you have any personal problem with President Salva Kiir?
How can you be happy if somebody who claimed to be a revolutionary, who claimed to be a rescuer of our people, at the end of the day, he betrayed our people? I cannot be happy with Kiir. He betrayed our people, and he's now an enemy of our people.
That's General Thomas Sirelo Swaka, former Deputy Chief of Staff of the South Sudan Army. He was speaking from an undisclosed location with John Tanza of VOA South Sudan in Focus program.
South Sudan's defense minister, Kuo Mayang Juk, is downplaying General Thomas Cirilo Swaka's statements. The general resigned last month from the South Sudan Army and has now formed a new rebel movement to fight for regime change in South Sudan. As IMBO reports from Washington, Defense Minister Mayang Juk says South Sudan is working to restore peace and stability in the country.
Kwame Nyong says General Thomas Cirilo Swaka's fiery statement accusing the Kiir administration of gross mismanagement of the affairs of the people and deteriorating security does not take into account the country's progress in implementing the 2015 peace deal. He also says Cirilo's resignation from the SPLA has been blown out of proportion.
The army is not made up of few people. There are so many people in the army, so three or four people, they don't matter. The army continues to go on. The place that it will be filled by those who are there.
In his statement, Cirilo says the army has never merged into one national army. Instead, he says their loyalties lie with their commanders who are from the same ethnicity as they are. Cirilo alleges that troops deserted from commanders and the core function of each security sector was abandoned, leaving local police to do the work of the army. Cirilo has called for a total reform of the security sector, but Manyang says that is not necessary. He says those concerns were addressed in the peace deal.
The security reform has been addressed in the agreement for the resolution of conflict in South Sudan signed last year, and we are working on it now. And we are aware that the security reform under the auspices of ICAD.
Cirilo outlines his frustration over what he calls the failed Kiir administration in the nearly 20-page document, which he says has little interest in using the laws of the land to advance the nation. He accuses President Kiir and his top aides for staying in power solely for personal gain. He also alleges that top leaders only select members of their ethnic group as security guards. But Manyang alleges Cirilo engaged in the very same tactic.
Including him, Thomas himself, he had his own relatives around him. But again, this is why we are going to hold the national convention again.
Manyang urged Cirilo to take part in the upcoming national dialogue. He says if he is willing, he will be given a chance to address his concerns.
These are few again, the few people just as they are in America, those who shoot people along the road. You hear the always that somebody has killed people here in America and there and there. It is just the same here in South Sudan. Only our people, they like to dramatize any situation over the media.
Dismissing recent reports that the war has indeed spread to traditionally peaceful parts of South Sudan, Manyang says South Sudanese are embellishing facts about the ongoing conflict. Manyang admits fighting continues in the country, although he says it has, quote, scaled down. He says the national dialogue will help address some of the concerns felt by the average South Sudanese. Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
In Kenya, a judge has ruled that a government program to install a monitoring system on mobile phone networks will remain suspended until the end of May. This is when the court will hear arguments in a case filed by an activist last month that challenges the program, alleging it is a vehicle for mass surveillance. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
Kenyan media reported in February the Communications Authority of Kenya had written to the country's three top mobile service providers to request access to their computer systems in order to install a device management system. Shortly after, Kenyan activist Omkir Omtata filed a challenge to the system in court. He argues that the device management system is an illegal violation of privacy. The court ruled Monday it will hear his arguments and the government plan will remain suspended. Communications Authority of Kenya official Christopher Kemei told VOA the system will only be used to detect counterfeit mobile devices.
The system is merely a database. It is a reference database which is centralized, and indeed it has no capacity to snoop. It is the opposite. It is the operators that are able to query that database and confirm that the service provider or the customer that is using their network with that particular device is a genuine device.
But critics disagree.
The system they are seeking to install is likely to do more than just that.
Henry Maina is head of the East Africa Office of Article 19, a global NGO that promotes freedom of expression and information worldwide. Maina says he believes the system can be abused.
Upon people, it's likely to create different data sets which they are going to collect without consent from the consumers, and they are going to be sharing those data sets with other agencies, even if those sets of information are not accurate. And so there is a whole violation of the data protection principles. There is a violation of the constitutional rights.
On Monday, Kenya's main opposition coalition joined the case as an interested party. Legal experts say the communication authority's duty is to provide licensing for broadcast stations and programming and not to check up on whether people's Nokia or Samsung phones are real. Kenya has a counterfeit agency and a Bureau of Standards whose job it is to monitor consumer goods. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Senegal-based digital music platform Musicbi celebrated its one-year anniversary recently. The innovative concept allows music lovers to purchase songs with their mobile airtime credit. Musicbi's Director General Mustafa Diop talks to Ricky Stryak about successes, drawbacks, and where they hope to go in the year ahead.
It's a music. There's 10,000 downloads we sell. It's not so big, but it's something we were not expecting, knowing that for now most of the content is Senegalese content, and how market is not so big. It's very nice to see that after 1 year, we had developed payment methods for the beginning. People can just buy music by SMS, but after the diaspora ask for, we did develop several other payment methods like PayPal, Orange Money, like the UBA card, Visa cards. So there's more and more payment methods, even if the most important for us is the way people can buy SMS. So yes, we have 15,000 downloads, and now we have statistics can prove that the method payment of SMS is really adapted in our countries. Because when we summarize the sales we had, SMS is 60% of the sales. PayPal 20% and Orange Money 20%. So we're sure that the way people can buy with SMS is the right way, and we will try to improve it everywhere in Africa.
I know one reason this site was launched was to decrease pirating of music, illegal downloads of music, so that musicians can earn a living. Did you find in the first year that some of your artists, such as Tikan Jah, did they have less pirating of their music?
Not really. As you know, people have no really statistic about their piracy, and they just know that there's piracy. They have no numbers, they have no statistic about that.
What are your future plans for Musicbi in the next year? How do you hope to grow the platform?
We have two big challenges. The first one is how to make the operators taking less. The revenue sharing, you know, as we're using the SMS and telecommunication media, the operators take some money in the transfer. So they took, some of them took too much. Some of them are asking 70% of the amount. You know, it's ridiculous. The other one is we should be in lots of countries.
That was Musicbi's Director General Mustafa Diop. He was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Dakar, Senegal. Briefly before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. U.S. President Donald Trump signed a new executive order Monday barring travelers from 6 countries to the United States for 3 months and all refugees for 4 months. Meanwhile, Nigeria on Monday issued a travel advisory to its citizens wanting to come to the United States. That's it for this Tuesday, March 7th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Bate in Washington, wishing all of you in Africa a very good day.
Hello, sports fans. This is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I love Sunny Side of Sports.
Please join us for a whole half hour of sports talk and news Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC GMT. On the internet, you can like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and read my blog.
Visit voaafrica.com and enjoy the show.